All right, by now everybody is aware of the chaos that's happening in the world with the food scarcity, price inflation, you know, fuel prices going sky high, right? We don't have to convince anybody what's going on. We're headed for chaos. But that's not what this podcast is about. This is about some ideas of how you can prioritize your own time, money, and other resources in order to be prepared for what's coming. This is about making strategic decisions about how to use your resources in the way that will benefit you the most. So welcome. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, of course, Brightown.com founder and publisher of naturalnews.com. And as you know, I've been a prepper for really 2 decades, seriously. And I've predicted just about everything that we're seeing happening right now. Sadly, you know, I wish we weren't in this situation, but this was all inevitable. This is where it was going to go. When, you know, you have all the money printing, you have the insane, deranged, lunatic governments, the wartime industry, big pharma, and the deadly vaccines, central banks that won't stop printing money, just on and on and on. It wasn't hard to see that this is where it was going. So here we are at really what I think is just the beginning of several years of real chaos and suffering and global famine, price inflation, desperation, chaos, lawlessness, and so on. And you already know that. And I'm not here to try to convince anybody of that because people can see it now. So how do you prioritize and use your resources most effectively? The first thing is to realize that your time is a resource and your time can be converted into knowledge by learning how to do things. For example, you may not know how to make your own bread, how to grind your own wheat flour out of wheat berries and make bread. Well, if you expend your resource of time and you learn how to do that now by reading books or watching online videos or what have you, there's a lot of videos, by the way, on Brightown.com about how to make bread. And those aren't going to be censored or taken down, so you can count on those. But if you expend the time, then that translates into your ability to buy wheat berries instead of wheat flour. And when you buy wheat berries as a bulk item, you're saving a lot of money compared to wheat flour. So wheat is one of those crops that's going to be in severe shortage globally because of Ukraine and Russia and also wheat crop failures in China, the United States, Canada, and other countries around the world. So if by expending your time, you can learn this skill, you can save a lot of money by not buying bread and instead making your own bread. So think about your resources as being translatable from one to the other. Or as the saying goes, time is money. But expending time can also save your money. And if you're on a fixed income, that might make a tremendous amount of sense to invest your time in that way so that you can save money in the long run. Now, another important strategy on the stockpiling side of this is to strategically stockpile raw materials that you can use to make the things you need rather than stockpiling end-user, overpriced consumer products. For example, if you go out to the grocery store and you buy a lot of loaves of bread, let's say, you know, there's a certain price that costs you, and you can throw that bread in the freezer. And yeah, you can store a certain amount of bread, but it takes up a lot of space because bread is mostly air because of the yeast causing the dough to rise. So if you had stored wheat berries instead of loaves of bread, you would be storing the potential for future bread loaves in a very compact format that does not require a freezer nor refrigeration. So think about in every area, food and personal care products and even laundry detergent and so on, what can you buy that is a raw material that you can later on turn into these things? So for example, purchasing bulk baking soda, that's something I've mentioned recently, or bulk salt, or bulk wheat berries, or bulk lentils or beans and so on, so that you can make your meals later on. You know, bulk quinoa is not that expensive, even now, or lentils. Not that expensive compared to finished meals. And finished meals often require refrigeration or freezing. And if the grid goes down, that's not going to help you very much, obviously, because you're going to lose your freezer. So in the same line as this philosophy, let's talk about money and barter and systems of exchange. So the most basic raw material that can be converted effectively into almost anything is, you know, precious metals, gold and silver. And I would consider that to be the base system of money. But there's also the convenience of other forms of money, such as crypto, for example, which, if the power grid is functioning, you can transfer money, you know, more easily across borders, and it's very portable. You can put it on a wallet in your pocket, you can carry it with you, and so on. And there's also the idea of silver or gold to become more recognizable depending on the severity of the collapse. So I say, if you store gold and silver and some cash and have some crypto as a safety measure, you're well diversified in this scenario. And if you add to it things like, you know, ammunition or sanitizers or, you know, things that are easily barterable, such as portable radios and things like that, then you have many, many systems of, quote, money that can be used in order to trade for almost anything else that you might need, even at the local level. So you don't need to store everything if you can store things like gold and silver that can be traded for almost anything. And I know that kind of seems obvious. You're like, yeah, I get that, Mike. That's obvious. But in many cases, when we think about preparing, there's almost a kind of a panic I'm sensing among many people right now to go down the list. Like, oh my God, do I have clothespins and safety pins and 550 paracord, and how many thousand feet of paracord do I need? And yeah, it's great to have those items, those objects. But also remember that with enough gold and silver or ammo, you can trade for any of those things, frankly. So you don't need every little thing. You just need the basics to get you through. And the basics are, you know, food and water filter, shelter, self-defense, communications, emergency medical first aid types of supplies. Those are the basics. If you cover the basics and you have means of exchange, you can get through a lot of other things. All right, next question people have is, what should I buy? I have a limited budget. Should I buy food, knowing that food's going to go up 20% or 50% in the next year? Or should I buy emergency first aid? Or should I buy ammo? Like, how much ammo should I buy? So some of the strategies on this are that with ammunition, a lot of purchases are limited right now. If you go online to an ammunition retailer, they'll have a limit, like limit one box or three boxes. So you should spread out your ammo purchases over time because you can't do that all at once. So buy a little bit of ammo, you know, every week or every month or whatever your schedule affords you. And I'm doing the same thing. There are some self-defense rounds, for example, in 300 Blackout, that are rather difficult to get. And when I see them online available, normally it's limit one box or two boxes. So I'll pick them up one box at a time, and I'll check again in a couple of weeks and see if there's another box. And even then, some of them are crazy expensive. You know, you can pay $2, $3 a round for self-defense ammo in 300 Blackout. You can pay $10 a round for 338 Lapua Magnum, right? You can pay $2 a round for self-defense loads that are 5.56. I'm talking about ballistic tips and things like that. Or 9mm that's a self-defense round can be well over a dollar a round. You know, you can end up paying $1.50 more per round. So spread that out over time. And in terms of food, again, think about bulk materials and not finished goods wherever you can. Okay, now, another topic on this is that people ask, well, some people have like an IRA, or they have annuities, or they have, you know, insurance products, and they've got money tied up in that, and they feel like those have long-term value. And they are asking the question, should I cash those in order to buy more survival supplies? And of course, you know, that's a question for your financial advisor, I suppose. And I can't know your specific situation, so don't consider this to be financial advice. But there's a very real risk that your bank won't exist in another year, or that there's going to be a financial collapse and all the accounts are frozen. There's a very real risk that the dollar is going to lose 50% of its value in the next year, or even more potentially. You know, the dollar's already lost 99% of its value. since 1913. So it's only got another 1% to go, and it's zero. That's true. And it's lost something like, I forgot the number, 87% or something since 1971, or maybe it's like 93%. It's a huge number since 1971, when Nixon took us off the gold standard, by the way. So it doesn't have much farther to fall, and the dollar is going to be worthless. So the question is, I think for you and your financial advisor, what is the risk of your annuity becoming zero? And right now, given that we're on the verge of World War III, potentially, you know, Russia's talking nukes, China is another scorpion in the jar here. Things are not looking good. You got banking failures. You got cyber attacks and maybe a cyber false flag event coming. The question is money that's tied up with a corporation or an insurance company, is that ever going to be redeemable as real money? Especially if it's a few years out, you know, 5 or 10 or 20 years out. What are the odds that that's going to exist at that time? Or what are the odds that even the dollar is going to exist? So I think you got to make that decision to the best of your ability. But for me personally, I would not want to have dollars sitting out there in some instrument. I would much rather have gold in my hands or ammunition or a farm tractor or a piece of land or a roof over my head that's completely paid off. You know, real assets. I don't trust this idea of dollars existing for very long at all, personally. That's just me. But I don't think the dollar has very long left. And it's going to end. And when it ends, everything's going to go to zero that is denominated in dollars, obviously. So think about that for yourself. And if you have the opportunity, convert dollars into things that you can pre-purchase that you know it's going to save you money now to buy it now, such as food that you eat on a regular basis, for example. You know, you may save yourself 40% just by buying it now compared to where it's going to be by Thanksgiving, let's say. Or ammunition might be in the same boat because all the metals that make up, you know, brass, you know, the nickel and also the gunpowder and the lead and everything, those are all going up. So do your own math and make your own decision, but don't whitewash the risks. Understand that there are now systemic global risks of things going to zero. And that is now apparent to people who thought that all that kind of talk was a conspiracy theory before. It's no longer a theory. It's the world in which we live. So I hope this has helped. I'm Mike Adams, Health Ranger. Thank you for listening. Check out my podcasts, interviews, and special reports at Brighteon.com and also my articles at naturalnews.com. God bless you. Take care.